We are on Chav Dalet Amid Aleph 24a. We are on the second line. Remember that we're in a series of Mishnayos that present bifurcations. It began with how you do Shechita versus how you do Malika. And most recently, we began talking about Shechita versus Areifa. The Areifa is done with the Egla Arufa, Shechita is done with the Para Aduma. And we said that based on a pasuk of Chuka, you can't do Areifa for Para Aduma. I might have thought you could do Areifa for Para Aduma. We brought the questionable Kal V'chomer. Questionable because, as was pointed out, I think Yaakov said it yesterday, we haven't really defined what is Kal and what is Chomer adequately. But we said, if, after all, when you're dealing with the Para Aduma, you can accept Shechita, which doesn't work regarding Egla Arufa, then certainly you should be able to use Areifa, which does work for Egla Arufa. You should be able to use that for Para Aduma. That was the attempt at Kal V'chomer, which the Braisa rejected, because the Torah says, V'shachat, you shall shecht it, and it says, Chukat Zos Chukas HaTorah, it's a chok, this must be so. Not chok the way we often explain it, meaning there's no reason, there's no analysis, but chok meaning engraved in stone, this is the way it is. So the idea is that it must be so. You must do Shechita. So the Gemara now challenges this. You wanted to introduce the ability to do Areifa based on a Kal V'chomer. You're going to reject it based on a pasuk. V'chol hecha dechsiv bechuka lo darshin on Kal V'chomer, the Gemara asks. Anywhere that it says chuka, we automatically say, well, this is so, and you can't bring a Kal V'chomer to argue. V'agaba Yom HaKippurim, what about regarding Yom HaKippurim and the way in which the goats gain their status as the Soyer Lashem, the goat chatas versus the Soyer Lazazel, the scapegoat. Dichsiv bechuka, there, the Torah also says chuka regarding the goats and regarding the general avoda on Yom Kippur. V'tanya, and yet I have the following brisa. V'asahu chatas, the Torah says, you take one of the goats and make it into a chatas. Hagorol ose chatas ve'ein hashem ose chatas. The way it becomes a chatas is based on the gorol, the lottery. Remember the Torah Bekilfa, you take the two wooden things, gold plated, that say one is Lashem and the other one is Lazazel, and picking out the lot for that goat is what identifies it as a chatas, and the fact that you call it a chatas, Hashem, calling it by the name chatas, doesn't make it into a chatas. Sheyachol, the Braisa there says, I would have thought, valo dinhu, that it could be argued logically. Uma b'makom shelo kidesh hagorol kidesh Hashem, when you're dealing with bird offerings, where you bring two birds, and one of them is a chatas, and one of them is an ola, you don't do lots for them. Instead, you actually identify, this is a chatas, this is an ola, and that's where they gain their status. Makom shekidesh hagorol, einodin shekidesh Hashem. So where the lottery does work, i.e. Yom Kippur for these two goats, certainly calling them by that name should work. Once again, it's a very interesting idea of Kal V'chomer. We're saying that you have two methods of dedicating something. One is by naming it, the other is by lottery. Yom Kippur, you can only do lottery. You can't do it by name. So where I can do it by name, certainly lottery should work. The other way around. When you're dealing with Kinim, lottery doesn't work. Calling it by name does. So therefore, Yom Kippur, where lottery does work, certainly naming it should work as well. Talmud Lomar, and they say no, because the pasuk says on Yom Kippur, v'asahu chatas, this will make it into a chatas. Hagorol ose chatas, vein Hashem ose chatas. The lottery does it, naming it does not. So regarding Yom Kippur, regarding Yom Kippur, you bring an attempt at a Kal V'chomer in order to do this, and then you reject the Kal V'chomer because you have a specific pasuk against it. But were it not for your specific pasuk of the Asahu Chatas, you would have been very happy to do the Kal V'chomer, even though the Torah says Chuka. Chuka means this is the way you do it, no other way. So why do you, so why is the Kal V'chomer work? And if you're going to tell me the Kal V'chomer does work to defeat Chuka, then go back to our discussion, and the Kal V'chomer should be an acceptable method over here as well. Taima, the Kasav Rachmanav, Asahu Chatas, about 10 lines down. The reason why we say, no, it has to be done with a goral, is because I have a pasuk that says, v'asau chatas halav hachi, but the implication is that were it not for v'asau chatas darshinan kal v'chomer, I would have done a kal v'chomer, and I wouldn't have said, chukah means it has to be this way. So therefore, I should take a kal v'chomer as well, in our discussion about arefa versus shechita, and I should say, based on the kal v'chomer, that the parah aduma can be done with shechita or with arefa. And I don't care that it says zos chukas haTorah. Which one has primacy? To which the Gemara says, you're right. You're right. Kal v'chomer really should win the day. Chukah should be pushed aside. Why don't I then over here? Why don't I say that you can do arefa for the para, that I can do shechita for the egla arufa? I'm sorry, no. Why don't I say that you can do arefa for the para duma? Mi'ed rachmana gabe egla ha'arufa. By the egla arufa, the Torah says, ha arufa, this is the one that is arufa, and no other is. Parenthetically, it's not true, right? Because we do have something else that's arufa, the petar chamor, right? You also do arufa there. The b'chor, that's not, right, well, that's the case there. But no one seems to be bothered by this. So the answer is, Torchino, don't be bothered by this. But there is something else, I guess maybe because that's not a lechatchila case. That's a case when you didn't do what you were supposed to do, so that you didn't redeem it, therefore you're doing arefa. Or maybe because that's not really an avoda. It's a disposition of something that you had to get rid of. Maybe. But that's the Gemara's point. Tosfos notes that the truth of the matter is that the word chukah is not always to teach something is ma'akev. The Gemara in Zvachim uses hachukah for gzera shava about mechusar begadim and shasli, which kohanim are able to work and not work. Chukah is not really so clear cut. It's the top Tosfos there on Chav Dalet. But that's what they bring in order to show that ordinarily. You can actually do a kavachomer despite chukah, then why don't I do a kavachomer and accept arefa for the parah aduma? Because of this gzeras hakasuv. The Gemara now returns to the brisa that we were reading at the end of yesterday and finishes the brisa with the second half of the kavachomer. Utehei egla kshera b'shchita mikavachomer. Fine, you don't want to tell me that you can do arefa for the parah aduma. But why can't I shecht the egla arufa as a kavachomer? It's just the flip side of the kavachomer we brought yesterday. Uma parah shelo hukshera b'arefa kshera b'shchita. The parah aduma can't have arefa done, but shchita works for it. Egla shekshera b'arefa inu din shehukshera b'shchita. The egla arufa has arefa as an acceptable option. Certainly shchita should work. Amar krav arfu .. ha'egla ba'arefa in b'shchita lo. No, because the Torah says they do arefa for the egla. The only arefa for the egla, shchita is not usable for the egla arufa. Again, this kavachomer is a very odd method of kavachomer, but as I state, that's what we got. We continue now with the next Mishnah in this bifurcation series, and it talks about Kohanim and Levim, and what disqualifies a Kohen, what disqualifies a Levi. So the Mishnah says, Kasher b'Kohanim pasul b'Levim, Kasher b'Levim pasul b'Kohanim. That which disqualifies a Kohen, or what's worded in the positive, that which is acceptable for a Kohen is not for a Levi, that which is acceptable for a Levi is not for a Kohen. And the Mishnah is worded positively, but it's talking about negatives. It's talking about the disqualifications. Specifically, as we're about to walk through, the Kohen can become disqualified by a blemish. Levi does not, other than voice, as we'll see. The Levi becomes disqualified by age. The Kohen does not. There is no mandatory retirement age for Kohenim. There may not be for Levim either, as we'll see.
The Mishnah isn't suggesting that if something that they can't both be positive in the same sense, right?
Well, it is, right? That which is literally, if you take the Mishnah's wording literally, that which is kosher for the Kohanim is disqualified. Correct. That's why I say it's wording it positively, but it really means the disqualifications.
A normal Kohen and a normal Levi can't
have no overlap.
Normal.
Right. But that, if you look at the wording, that's what you end up with because you worded it positively.
I think it's saying something that would be kosher, but the Kohanim would be a disqualification by something.
Right, but again, it's speaking to disqualifications, really. Tanu Rabbanon. The wording really, to be more precise, I would think would have been pasul b'kohanim kosher b'levim, pasul b'levim kosher b'kohanim.
Right, okay.
Tanu Rabbanon. Kohanim b'mumin psulim b'shan. Sorry, Kohanim b'mumin psulim b'shanim ksherim. A Kohen becomes disqualified by having a mum, but the years don't matter. The years don't affect him. He's kosher at any age. Not quite true, but we'll leave it for in a moment. Levim b'mumin ksherim b'shanim psulim. A Levi with a mum is still kosher, but he does have certain ages at which he's disqualified. Nimtza kosher b'kohanim possible. Levim kosher b'levim possible b'kohanim. Okay, just like we said in the Mishnah. So that's the Braisa. The Gemara wants to know, Menahani Mili, how do you know these things? The Tana Rabbanan, it's the following Braisa. The Torah says, Zos Asher LaLeviim. This is for the Leviim, and then it presents the ages. Matam Lomar, why does the Torah have to say that? Why does it say this is for the Leviim? Lefishan Emar, because the Pasuk says, and we ben chamishim shana yashuv, that at the age of 50, he will yashuv mitzvah ha'avodah. He will return from being in the team of people who do the work. So, lamadnu leleviim shashanim poslin bohem. That teaches me, that Pasuk itself, that at 50 he has to stop, tells me that years disqualify him. The yachol mumin poslin bohem, I might think that blemishes would also disqualify them. Vidinu, and it should be logical. Here's another one of those kavahomer attempts. Uma kohanim she'ein hashanim poslin bohem, mumin poslin bohem. Kohanim do not age out, and yet mumin disqualify them. Leviim shashanim poslin bohem. Leviim are disqualified by age. Ein adin she'yehu mumin poslin bohem. Certainly then mumin should disqualify them too. Tam lomar zos asher laleviim. Note, the pasuk says this is what is for the Leviim. This is the standard. Zos laleviim veina cheres laleviim. Only this is the standard. Only age, not a mum, not a blemish. Yachol yu akonim poslim b'shanim. I might think that psulim b'shanim. I should say I might think that age would disqualify a kohen. And now we bring the attempt to kavah chomer in the other direction. V'alo dinu uma leviim she'ein mumin poslim b'hem shanim poslim b'hem. Leviim are not disqualified by a blemish, by a mum. They are disqualified by age. Kohenim she'ein mumin poslim b'hem ein odin shu shanim poslim b'hem. Kohenim are so sensitive that a mum will disqualify them. Certainly age should disqualify them. Tamad lomar asher la leviim. No, because it says this, the age is for the leviim. Velo asher la kohanim. It's not for the kohanim. Yochol af b'shila v'beis olamim kain. I might think the same thing would be true regarding Shiloh, regarding the Beis HaMikdash as well. We would disqualify Leviim based on age. Talmud Lomar, Pasuk says, La'avod avodas avodah v'avodas masa. No, because the Torah assigns Leviim their work. It says, regarding avodas avodah v'avodas masa, the work that's needed to support the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, and the work of carrying. Lo'amarti ela bizman sh'avodah v'katef. The disqualification for age is only when you are actually carrying things on your shoulders. So take a look at Rashi on Yachol Af B'Shilo U'Beis Olamim Kein. I might think even in Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash, Shein Avodas Leviim El Shorim U'Mishorim. The Avodah of Leviim, once you get to Shiloh and you're camped, right, you have your stone walls and all that, you're not moving anything. At that point, they are shoarim, they keep the gates open, or they close them, and they are mishoarim, they are singers. So Yehu Nifsalin Bashanim, I might think they would become disqualified by age at that point. It isn't literally by song, as Rashi is going to say later, they're also playing instruments, possibly. We'll have to talk about that. But that's the idea.
Well, the point is, it has nothing to do physically, it's not age. Right, carrying stuff. We wanted to know 30 to 50, right?
Right. So it appears. So it appears.
What do you do with Mumin, because they're not doing an avoda.
Well, they're not disqualified by Mumin anyway.
Not Leviim.
Right. We're only questioning now whether this age disqualification extends post movable Mishkan.
Is this Rashi backwards? It says that they become disqualified by Shonim.
Well, they do.
They are. We might think either by Shiloh.
One second, what are you asking?
We're not. We might think they are disqualified there.
If the whole thing was about carrying on the shoulder and the prize from 30 to 50.
Then it's Mishkan in the wilderness.
It's Mishkan, but once they're camped, so there's no more carrying.
Correct. So I might have thought that even in Shiloh they would be disqualified by this. Talmud Lomar, Lavoda Vadas, Avoda Vavadas Masa in the wilderness.
Disqualified by age?
That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. So, in fact, this is actually problematic. Matal, it's still problematic for two reasons. The number one, Tosfos notes here that I would have been willing to extrapolate from the Mishkan Psukim to the Beis Hamikdash, even though elsewhere we say you don't do that. We require a specific Psukim to expand to the Beis Hamikdash. He says here it would have been a logical extrapolation because the disqualification in the time of the Mishkan is not unique to the Kedusha of the Mishkan. It's simply do the job, and then at a certain age, you age out. So I would have thought it would apply to Levium down through time, and I don't need a special pasuk to teach me extrapolate to the Mikdash. There's no need, because it's just a logical deduction. That's one point that Tosfos makes. Ordinarily, if I want to say that that which was done in the Mishkan applies to the Beis HaMikdash, I need a pasuk. Here you didn't bring one. That's one point. And the other point, though, is the wording in the Gemara is, I would think even in Shiloh and in the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, what if at some point in the future we have a movable Mishkan that requires that you do transport? Will we again say, okay, no Levium over the age of 50? Right? In the U.S. you have OSHA. OSHA is responsible to enforce workplace rules and make sure the worker's safety is observed. Well, I don't know what the equivalent is in Canada, but I guarantee you it exists. The what? Sorry? Okay. So you have an office that's going to step in. If you now need to move things, do we say no Levium over the age of 50? So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos in Shoresh Gimel talks about what doesn't count in the 613. And one of the things he says doesn't count is a mitzvah which only apply temporarily. And he uses this as an example. He says this mitzvah stopped when they entered Eretz Yisrael, and it never applies again. And the Ramban there argues and says, no, if you needed to do transportation in the future, you would once again disqualify the Levium over the age of 50. So there's some question, because the Mishnah didn't say post-entry into Israel, it said Shiloh and Beis Olamim. Maybe that's only Shiloh and Beis Olamim, but the mitzvah could in fact apply at some point in the future. Right. Well, keep in mind, you have shifts. Just like you have shifts of Kohanim, you have shifts of Levium.
And the Levium, what did they do in the cities? They weren't even the Beis Hamikdash.
Correct. So apparently they're teachers of Torah and doing... Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
They schnarred.
They didn't need to schnarr. You had land. They farmed their land. Weiter. So the Gemara continues with this, though, because we're far from done. Trying to figure out the ages at which the Levium worked. Kasev Echad Omer, one pasuk says, we're about 15 lines up from the bottom. Kasev Echad Omer, mi ben chamesh vesim shana v'mala. One pasuk says he starts at age 25. V'kasev Echad Omer, mi ben shloshim. But another pasuk says he starts at age 30. And that's regarding Levium. So we got a problem. Yiv shalom shloshim shekvar nemar chavhei. Yiv shalom chavhei shekvar nemar shloshim. You can't say 25, you said 30. You can't say 30, you said 25. Which is it? Haketzad, how does it work? Chav hei lilmod ushloshim lavoda. The Levi gets 5 years of training. He starts learning at age 25, and he starts to do the work at 30. Right, the Kohanim don't get this. I saw the Megalios HaShas brought an interesting explanation that I didn't understand for why Kohanim don't get the training. It has to do with on-the-job training and training being harder than the work itself, but I didn't understand what he was saying.
It has something to do with the Kedusha. Unless they're really bringing a korban, then it's not the same
training. Don't know. He's got 5 years to train, and from this we learn, Mikan the Talmud Shalora Simen Yafa the Mishnah, so hey, Shanim, Shuv, Eino, Roe. That says you work for 5 years to learn something, and if after 5 years is not working, cut bait. The Rashi says, what is it that's not working after 5 years? He says, Shalora Simen Yafa, Lomed Vishochacho, that you learn and you keep on forgetting. And the Sefer Yafei Das, who's quoted in the Megalios HaShas, as saying that remembering is from Siyata Dishmaya. Understanding is through your own hard work. Remembering is Siyata Dishmaya. So if, after, and he brings proof for it, it's not a Stama statement from Gemara Megillah Davav. So he says, you're waiting 5 years to see, will Hashem help you? Likute Basar Likute points out that in Pirkei Avos, we have that Ben Chamesh LeMikra, Ben Eser for this, but he says you get 5 years to learn there, to see if you get success, except when it comes to Gemara, you don't have another step after 5 years, because he says that's lifelong. It's too hard a subject to say 5 years. And that fits in with what's coming next in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Omer Gimel Shanim. Rabbi Yossi says 3 years, not five. Shanemar, as the Pasuk says, Ulegadlam Shanim Shalosh. This is talking about Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and their training for work in the Babylonian court. So they're trained for 3 years. Ulamdon Sefer Veloshon Kazdim. So that they will learn to become literate in Babylonian. That's a 3 year process. So V'idach. Well, it starts when they're captured by the Babylonians.
Now I'm asking, why did they start at 25?
Because that's the age that Hashem designated.
Because 2 years in between.
So, oh no, so you're asking that. I'm sorry, I didn't know you. I thought you were asking me a different question. So then that's the Gemara's next question. V'idach, back to you then, why do you have 5 years? Sha'ani lashon kazdim dekalil, because it's easier to learn Babylonian than it is for you to, learn the Avodah. V'idach, what would be the response back? According to the view that it's really 3 years, so why does it, so why 5 years? Shani, Hilchos Avoda, this Kifin, because it is Takif to learn Avoda. Rashi says on this, Lahorid HaMishkan, you have to learn to take apart the Mishkan, Lafarko, take apart its different pieces, Ulunatoso, and to set it up, Lahamid Karasa, Vukrasha, right? All those words in Truma and Tetzava that we don't really understand. The Karasa, Krasha, Bricha, Vamuda, Vadanov, the Vashir, Lakar, the music for the carbon, playing it as well as singing it. Note that Rashi here says that they're playing the instruments. If you look in the Mishnah Erechin Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalid, there are actually three views as to who's playing the instruments. One view is that it's the Avadim of the Kohanim, another view is that it's Mishpachos Miyuchasos, and then the third is, I think, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, he says that it's Leviim. This is Rashi is following the view that the Leviim are the ones who played the instruments. But the but on this statement it's Takif. Sorry.
It's not right
until. That what? That the Leviim play the instruments? Lav Davka. Lamitav Beniginos. We mention instruments, but we don't say who did it. But the statement here that it's takif, so Rashi seems to indicate that it's harder because there is a lot to learn. He lists all these different types of avodos. And Rashash notes that the word takif is used elsewhere in the Gemara to mean something that has a lot of. We say that Tishrei is called Yerach Ha'Eitanim, the month of the Eitanim, the strong, and the Gemara there says it's takif for mitzvos, because it has a lot of mitzvos in it. So takif is often used that way. But otherwise, you could have just said takif here means it's qualitatively harder to learn Avoda than it is to learn Babylonian. Yes?
Their Avoda was minimized, and it was actually, how should I say, compartmentalized also. They didn't have to learn each and everything. When you're talking,
right, they don't have to learn how to do Ketores.
About the aspect of taking apart the Mishkan, if you're looking at those people who lived in that time, they only had a certain aspect of taking part of the Mishkan.
You mean Murari is doing his job, and
they
have
to know each and everybody's
correct. But evidently, that's enough. I mean, look, they're all in the Midbar. What else do they have to do?
Then that
creates other problems. Don't do that.
More pedagogical studies suggest 10,000 hours in the subject matter and expertise.
I'm sorry, say that again?
More pedagogical studies suggest right. 10,000 hours for
the right, I've seen those studies. That's right.
Right, so if you're 40 hours a week, 2,000 hours a year, 5 years.
Right, but that's really excellence.
Oh, yes.
That's to excel, right.
That's what's expected.
Right.
There you go.
That's true. Okay, so it's a 10,000-hour study. Good. And note that the Gemara is not talking about Torah here. The Gemara is not talking about Torah specifically. It's to learn Babylonian also. For secular study as well. If you want to know whether you're going to succeed, give it 5 years, and if Hashem helps you, then good. And if not, then move on. Then go to some other graduate school, and your parents will pay for that too. Don't worry. By then it may be your in-laws. In any case, we've seen that the Levians start training at 25 and start working at 30. We now continue with the Kohanim. This seems to be part of that original Brisa still. It doesn't seem to have stopped. Even though we ducked out of it, I think at one point we ducked back in. Kasev Echad Omer Mi Ben. I'm sorry, we jumped. I'm off on that. That was the end of that brisa. Now we have a new brisa. Tana Rabbanan. Kohen Mishayavish Tesaros Achiyazkin Kosher Avoda Umumin Poslin Bo. The Kohen is acceptable for the Avoda from the time that he starts puberty, two hairs, until he is old. Who defines old? We'll come back to you. The umumin poslin bo, but blemishes disqualify him. Ben Levi, mi ben shloshim, ben chamishim kasher lavoda, v'shanim poslin bo. As we've discussed, the Levi is 30 to 50. Ba'med v'mamurim, when is this true? As we said, ba'ol moed shebe midbar, specifically the ol moed, aval b'shilo u'beis olamim, ein nifsalin ela b'kol. But shilo in the beis hamikdash, only they're only disqualified if their voice is no longer good. And again, shilo beis olamim, as we discussed, maybe it may apply, may not apply. Amar Rabbi Yossi Maikra, Rabbi Yossi says, what's the pasuk to say that he has to have a certain voice, he has to have voice strength? Because the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim says, Vayikeh echad l'mechatzitzrim ul'meshorarim. They sang and played their instruments, mechatzitzrim from chatzotzos, the trumpets. And the singers, they were as one. La'ashmiya kol echad. They have to be able to sing in unison. Rashi says, not necessarily unison, shetzichim l'vasem es kolam. They have to sweeten their voices, she'nirik kol echad, so it all sounds as one. The harmony and the melody all blend together. So at a certain point, the person's voice doesn't have that same ability to hold the note, and at that point he's disqualified for singing in the Mishkan. I can't, and the Beis HaMikdash. I can't imagine who breaks the news to them. That's an awful thing to say to them. Yeah, you have someone who's been a chazan for his whole life, and now someone has to say to him, it just doesn't sound the same anymore. That's a very hard thing to do. It does happen, and it's a very hard thing to do. And you know what happens next? You stop getting his dues. That's what happens next.
This is
a change. Even if
he's not 50 years old.
That's also
true.
Okay.
Weiter. Ad Sheyazgin. A rabbi is
known as Sheyazgin. Yeah. Ad Sheyazgin. Ad Kama. Let's go. We have a full omit here. The Ad Sheyazgin. So you say the Kohen. If you think it's hard to tell the Levi he's out, try telling the Kohen that he's old. The Ad Kama. So Amar Rabbi La, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ad Sheyarases. Until his limbs start to tremble, Rashi says from weakness. He's not necessarily talking about tremoring from something neurological, but simply age can do it to a person. Tanan Hasam. Here we get another definition of age. Mishnah says, "Bal keri shatava v'lo hitil mayim l'chshayatil tame." This doesn't have to do with avoda. This is a separate definition of old age regarding keri. If a man emits seed, he becomes tameh. So the question is, what if he goes to mikvah, but he hasn't yet gone to the washroom, and therefore something may still be inside, some keri may still be inside, so then when he does use the washroom next, he is going to be tameh, because we assume at that point the keri that was inside emerged. Rabbi Yossi Omer, b'chola u'bezakein tameh. Rabbi Yossi says, only if he is ill, or if he is elderly. That's when I would assume the keri did not emerge entirely, but b'yelet u'bebari. But if he's young and healthy, then tahor. I would assume he's tar once he goes to mikvah, because everything emerged the first time. So nu, how do you define age? Yeled ad kama. How old is he? Still a yeled? So amar bi lo, amar bi chanina, kol sha'omid al raglo achas v'choleitz min alo v'noel min alo. Rabbi Chanina says, if he can stand on one foot, and he has the balance to still take off his shoe and put on his shoe on the other foot, not the one he's standing on, that shows that he's still strong. His body is still healthy. He has balance. Well, now, Rabbi Chanina has a vet.
Well, Cohen can't sit in the base of English.
True, but that's not what this is about. This isn't about Cohen, and this is about Balkari in general. It's not Cohen specific. Amru al Rabbi Chanina, Shaya ben Shmona Mishana by Yomid al Raglo Achas v'Cholitz Minalo v'No Minalo. He had the standard when he was 80 years old. He could still do that. The Amr Rabbi Chanina says, you know why? Chamin v'shemen shasachasni imi bialdusi hein amduli, good pun, be'ez ziknusi. He says, the hot water and the oil that my mother used to bathe me when I was a kid, that helped me when I became old. So the Margolios HaShas quotes a Munkacher Torah journal, I forget which one, that said that this was actually a ruchni thing. This wasn't about hot water and oil, but it was heat, chamin, meaning the passion that was invested in him for Torah, and the Shemen, remember in Menachos, we compared the oil that they use in the Beis HaMikdash to Talmud Torah, to learning Torah. So it was the passion they invested in me and the education that they gave me kept me strong throughout my life. The Imre Emes asks on this, the second Gerer Rebbe, he wants to know, what about Moshe and Aaron, who served long past the age of 80? So he says, by Moshe says, L'chasa eino v'lo nas l'icho, right? Moshe was strong to the end, and Ibn Ezra says this is true for Aaron as well, or as the Mizrahi suggests, maybe this was an optional retirement age. Maybe it wasn't a mandatory retirement age. Maybe you could still serve even after that. It could be it was only optional. Okay. What's the starting age for Avoda? Satana Rabbanon, the Braisa says, Nismale Zikano Roile Oso Shliach Tzibur Valeri Lifnei Ateba Valisa Es Kapov. Once he has a full beard, at that point, one is eligible, we say, I mean, we said two hairs for the Kohen, but we're giving a starting age for other things. He's eligible to be a Shliach Tzibur, which Rashi says doesn't mean the way we use it to mean a chazan. He says it's for all communal needs. So he says it's to blow shofar, it's to also put somebody in cherem, in order to be a parnas for the tzibur, in order to be appointed a communal official, you have to have a full beard already. Not you have to have a full beard, you have to be of age to have a full beard. Peter left, so we didn't get to tell him he needs a beard to be a parnas al tzibur. The Lere Lifnei Ateva, we say, is to lead the davening. Tosfo says it means to be an established leader of the davening, because the Gemara Menachos Chavdalid says you could be Omer Lifnei Ateva already when you're younger than that. From Beisaros. They have to be of age for a full beard in order to be a regular chazan. And Lisa as kapov to duchen. So Tosfos gets upset about that because the Gemara in Sukkah Membeis says that a minor can duchen. So Rashi there in Sukkah answers that you're right. The standard is actually Beis Saros. It's not Mishayazgin for duchening. But Tosfos here says that it's talking about doing it with adults. Meaning, if you're a minor, you can go up there when there are adults. Up there. I'm sorry, again, the Gemara in Sukkah says even a minor can do it. So Rashi there says it doesn't really mean a minor. That's his answer. It didn't really mean minor. Tosfos here says no, a minor can do it. If there are adults duchening, the minor can go along, but he can't do it alone. For that we have the age standard. The Chochma Shlomo, the Marshal, says it depends on doing it regularly or doing it at special times like Yom Kippur. That doing it regularly, a katan can go up. Yom Kippur or a fast day, then it's only an older Kohen. Those are special times. We don't put kids up there, he says. But I think in practice we do allow kids to go up for duchening with adults. Right. I don't think we stop them.
Yes, to have the beard or ability to have the beard.
Just ability. I think that it's only ability to. It's an age thing. It's not having the beard specifically. Okay, Me'emasai kosher la'avoda. When does he become kosher to do the avoda? Mishayavi shtei saros, also two hairs. That's the point that's relevant for us. Rebbe Omer, Omrani Achei ben Esrim. Rebbe says, no, you got to be 20 years old. Omer Chista, my time of the Rebbe. Chista says, why does Rebbe say 20? Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, Ve'amidu es halaviyim emi ben esrim shana v'mala l'natzeach hamaleches beis Hashem. The pasuk says, they appointed the Leviyim, and he's going to say, as we'll see in the Gemara, that means Kohanim here, from the age of 20, Linatzeach, on Melechez Beis Hashem. So Linatzeach we take to mean to serve. That's how we are interpreting the word Linatzeach. It's about service in the work of the house of Hashem. V'idach, well, the opposing view that says two hairs, what does he do with that pasuk? Linatzeach Sha'ani. He says Linatzeach doesn't mean what you think it means. The Rashi says it means to do the heavy lifting. There you had to be 20, but you could do minor jobs before you turn 20. Linatzeach like Nitzach, like victory. Vahaikra b'leviim ksiv. But wait a minute. That pasuk said leviim. Yeah, k'dor b'shur ben levi. It's like Rabbi Shur ben Levi said. Damar b'shur ben levi. Be'esim v'arba mekomos nikru kohanim leviim. 24 places in Tanakh kohanim are called leviim. V'ze echad mehen. And this is one, not ours, but the one that Rabbi Shur ben Levi is talking about. V'kohanim ha-leviim b'nei tzadok. Which we know referred to Kohanim, not to Leviim, because Tzadok was a Kohen, as Rashi says, and they called his kids Leviim because they were of Shevet Levi. Rashi then says, interestingly, that the word Levi means someone who serves. Shamashim. Like the pasuk says, V'ilavu alecha v'sharasucha, they are going to accompany you and serve you. So the idea of Levi is someone who accompanies to serve. However, Rashi in Bereishis, when Leah calls her kid Levi, says it's because they are escorted by gifts. It's not that they escort others. I tell you, la veishi elai, right? But Rashi here says you're a Levi means that you serve. Rashi there says it means you are escorted by gifts. That's what Levi means. But it's miluveh, that you are escorted, not that you are escorting others. The different explanations. Okay, so we say either it's 20 for the Kohen to start serving, or it's when he hits puberty. Either explanation is offered here, Machlokes, Tanakama, and Rebbe. One more brisa, though, on this. Tanarabanan, the Torah says, Ish mizaracha ledorosam. an ish of your descendants. And this is talking about the Kohanim, and there it's discussing mum. So mikan omer Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, it said ish. Katan patsul avoda. That means a minor cannot do the avoda afilu tam, even if he has no blemishes. An ish will be disqualified if he has a mum. But a katan can't serve at all. Me'emasai kasher lavoda. When is he kasher? The Braisa asks. Mishiyavi shtei saros. Two hairs. Aval echav ha-kohanim ein manichan osa lavoda chef ben chaf. However, you should know, the Kohanim didn't let him serve until he turned 20. They don't want to start dividing up the parts, maybe. But the question is this Braisa siding with one view or the other within our machlokas? Iga de Amri, one version of this is ha-rebihi. That this is Rebbe's view, who says you got to be 20. Rebbe was the one who said 20. Right, Rebbe said. One second. Rebbe was literally said 20. The Iga de Amri ha Rebbe he. So one way to take it is this Braisa is only Rebbe's view. Vafilu psul derabanan lesle. And what we're saying is that there isn't even a psul derabanan. I don't understand. Say that again. Either this Braisa is the view of Rebbe who says age 20, and there's no psul derabanan on the other. I'm sorry. And v'aviv psul derabanan lesle, and there is no disqualification on the other side when you're a minor. In the Tanakhama's view. The Ika de Amri, alternatively, Rebbe isle psul midrabanan. Rebbe says that you are pasul midrabanan. I'm sorry, no, but it's the other end. It has to be the Rebbe. Yeah. This Braisa says, of course, because this Braisa says he's good at Shtei Saros. And they're stopping them, only saying, don't serve until you're 20. So one way to take it is that this is Rebbe. The Vafilu psul derabanan lesle, and Rebbe says he really would have been kosher at an earlier age. We just stopped him. The Iga de Amri, Rebbe isle psul midrabanan. Alternatively, Rebbe says no, he is psul midrabanan at the earlier age. Vaha rabanan he. The and this is the rabanan ulechatchila hu delo. Aval diavad avodasok sheira, and it's lechatchila that he's not supposed to serve. But diavad the avod in fact would be good. The Avodah would be okay, because the Rabbanan say you're good from Shtei Saros. Right, either it's Rabbi, or the Braisa is Lechatchila, and everybody says you should wait until 20 Lechatchila. So everybody might really agree with this Braisa. Good. New Mishnah. Another bifurcation Mishnah. It's going to take us, this pattern is going to take us through the end of the parak. And it's talking about Kalim, and specifically distinguishing between earthenware, Kli Cheres, and other Kalim. The rule is that a Kli Cheres becomes Tameh, we're dealing with a receptacle. So it becomes Tameh not by something Tameh touching the back of the Kli, but by something entering its airspace. Right. Well, that's the Gemara's word. By something entering its airspace. Whereas other receptacles become tamei not by something being in the airspace, but by contact. So Mishnah says, tar b'chli cheres tamei b'chol hakelim. That which is tar by a kli cheres, meaning if it was touched by something tamei on its outside, by other kelim it'll make it tamei. Kli cheres won't be tamei. On the other hand, tar b'chol hakelim tamei b'chli cheres. That which will be tar by other kelim, if something enters its airspace but doesn't touch the actual inside, will be tar for other things, but not for a kli cheres. For a kli cheres it'll be tamei. So how do I know that? Tana Rabbanan, it's the following braisa. Avir kli cheres tamei v'gabo tar. The airspace in a kli cheres is tameh and will make it tameh. The gabo, but its back is tahor. If something touches the back of the kli cheres is still tahor. Avir kola kalim, the airspace of other kalim, tahor is tahor. The gabo and tameh, but if something touches the back, then the kli will become tameh. Nimtza tar b'kli cheres, tameh b'chola kalim, tar b'chola kalim, tameh b'kli cheres. Right, that's the braisa, so just like our Mishnah. Mina animili, how do you know these laws? The Tana Rabbanan, it's the following braisa. Tocho, the Torah says, Tocho, anything that enters its Toch, anything that enters the inside of it, the Avapi Shalonaga, even if it doesn't touch it, the Kli, this is by Kli Cheres, will be Tamei. Ata Omer Avapi Shalonaga, Oenu Elaim Kein Naga, maybe it actually has to touch it. So Rabbi Yonasan ben Abtulmus Omer, Rabbi Yonasan ben Abtulmus says, no, Nemar Tocho Letamei, Venemar Tocho Litamei. The Torah uses the word Tocho, it's inside, both in terms of it communicating Tuma and in terms of it receiving Tuma. The ma tocho ha'omer l'tamei afa bishalo naga, a tocho ha'omer l'tamei afa bishalo naga. Just like if a kli cheres is tamei, then that which enters it will become tame even without touching it. So too, in terms of it receiving, receiving tuma, the same thing is going to be true even without contact. Well, how do you know that it communicates tuma to something even if that item isn't touching its walls, as long as it's inside? Rabbi Yonasan explains, HaTorah he'ida al kli cheres v'afilu male chardol, because the Torah says regarding kli cheres that it communicates tuma to whatever is inside, even if it's filled with mustard seed, such that some of the seeds aren't touching the walls of the kli. Nonetheless, the seeds all become tame automatically. Tells us so it's not really mustard seed, because food requires a shear to get tuma midioraisa. But the point is, anything that's inside it will receive tuma even without touching the walls. Yes. That's the correct. So that's the idea. So again, the point is, Kli Cheres gets tuma and communicates tuma via its inside airspace, even without contact. Other kalim require contact with the kli, not airspace. That's the idea.